Father, we bless you and thank you for today. We pray now that all that we do and say will be pleasing in your sight. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you. We pray that the great seed of your word will go forth unencumbered, that we'll find good soil in our hearts and minds and spirits, that good seed, that great seed and good soil will produce great fruit to your honor and glory. We pray that you will bless now as only you can. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A hurricane swept through the town like they had never seen before. Power lines were down, looking like extension cords from the sky. Telephone poles looked like matchsticks. Trees looked like kindling wood. Everywhere you looked, you saw devastation, you saw damage. But there was one tree in particular that seemed unfazed by the hurricane. There was one tree that was standing as tall and as proud after the hurricane came as it was before. An arborist was asked, what was it about that tree that made it survive when other trees were toppled and snapped and fell at the winds of the hurricane? This tree was still standing strong and standing proud. The arborist said what was special about this tree is its roots are deep, wide, and anchored in the soil. The tree isn't just standing on the ground, it's rooted and grounded in the ground. My brothers and sisters, trees have deep roots for several reasons. One is to access water and nutrients from deep within the soil, especially in dry conditions. But the other reason is to anchor that tree securely in the ground to prevent it from falling. In his letter to the church at Ephesus, Paul is praying for believers, and specifically he is praying that those of us who name the name of Christ, those of us who are Christ followers, will have a kind of spiritual rootedness. Specifically in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 19, which will be our passage today, Paul kneels before the Father and prays. And he prays that you and I will be deeply rooted and grounded in God's power, in God's love, to God's glory. Today, for a few moments, I want to talk to you from the thought, how to be rooted and grounded in God. Now, you might think this is a little strange because we've been talking about rooted and grounded for the last couple of years. And this is really the first time that I've ever preached and or taught from this passage in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. This passage encompasses or is part of a prayer by the Apostle Paul for the church and the believer. Some would argue that it is the second greatest prayer prayed in the Bible, specifically in the New Testament, second only to the Lord's model prayer in Matthew chapter 6. When Paul prays here in Ephesians chapter 3, he's not praying about physical needs or ability or earthly success. Paul is praying about spiritual depth and godly maturity. And I want to submit to you today, my brothers, and suggest that some of us might need to change our prayer emphasis. Because too many times we are praying to get more stuff instead of praying to become more like God. We are praying for the stuff that moth can eat, that thieves can steal, that rust can corrupt. And Paul is saying to us here, by model, by precept and practice, that you need to be praying for who you are on the inside, not all the stuff you get on the outside. If you have your outlines, would you say amen? If you need an outline, raise your hand. For those of you who are watching via iHope Church, you can go to our website and download a copy of the outline, or you can go to our church app and you can find a fill-in-the-blank copy there that you can fill in on your smartphone or on your computer. Here's the first thing I want you to see. Number one, you must be rooted and grounded by being dependent upon God in prayer. The first thing Paul teaches us is the need to be rooted and grounded, and that is exemplified when we are dependent upon God in prayer. Verse 14, Ephesians chapter 3, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named." The words "for this reason" refers back to the earlier chapters and refers to the eternal plan of God and the life of the Christian believer, which he discussed earlier in the book of Ephesians. He shares with us earlier in this book that it's through Christ God has produced salvation by grace. It is through Christ that he has not only produced salvation by grace, but it is by that same grace that he has given birth to the church, the new body of believers which he is building. So here we come to chapter 3, verse 14. Paul says, "Because of this, because of all God has done for us in saving us and making us part of the body of Christ," he says, "I go to my knees and pray to God." Bowing his knees shows that he is dependent upon God, reveals that he is reverencing and respecting God and is being humble before God. And he does this because he understands that it is through Christ coming into the world that we have the opportunity to have a relationship with God that we never had before. Before Christ, men saw God as being distant and far away, unconcerned with man and this world. But God sent Jesus Christ to reveal once and for all that God loves his creation. That's why John 3:16 is such a powerful passage, because it communicates a love that God has for the world that was not felt prior to Jesus coming. "For God so loved the world," we know the passage, "that he gave his only begotten son, his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." And so when Paul is praying, he's not praying to the ceiling. He's not praying, uttering words into midair. He's not praying something to some lifeless concept or to something that's in his mind. He is praying to the Father, who is the only living and true God, to the very God who would hear his prayer. He literally realizes that in order to walk in the way that God wants him to walk, he has to be in direct alignment with God. Some of you are familiar with satellite dishes, and maybe you had Dish Network back in the good old days, and you had that dish pointed towards the satellite. They would come and they would make sure that it was pointed towards the satellite. Now, don't let it rain. Don't let it storm. Don't let a cloud cover come. Because once that came, it would separate you from the signal. Somebody will hear me today. Because prayer aligns us with God. Here's the problem. Just like the clouds and the storms would come and interrupt that signal on the old Dish Network, on that old dish, storms can come and cause you to miss your connection with God if you're not careful. And Paul says you've got to learn how to humble yourself before God and seek God, to be dependent upon God. You can only be rooted and grounded in God when you learn how to pray. That's why that prayer experience is so important. That learning how to pray an hour, that becoming more consistent in your prayer life, because that's the grounding that you need to become who God wants you to be. That's why all of us need to learn how to make prayer our first response instead of our last resort. Let me say it again for somebody. Somebody tweet that for me. You need to make prayer your first response and not your last resort. too many of us wait to pray when we've tried everything we can do, called everybody we know, tried everything that comes to our mind, and then we say, well, let me pray. And Paul says, no, why don't you start with praying as your first response, not as your last resort. Here's the second thing. Number two, you must be rooted and grounded with God's power in your inner being. You must be rooted and grounded with God's power in your inner being. Look at verse 16, Ephesians chapter 3. That according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner being. Paul says you should pray to be strengthened with the power of the Holy Spirit in your inner being. That word strengthen means to be made strong, tough, enduring. It means to have energy or force to endure, to be able to resist whatever comes your way. The word power comes out of that word dunamis, that great force that is God's power, that great energy that belongs to God. And he says you need to be strengthened more than you need to be applauded in your outer being. You need to be strengthened on your inner being. That inner being refers to the deepest part of your being, in your soul, in your heart, in your spirit. In the spirit that God has renewed. He says, you gotta pray and you gotta ask the Lord and then ask God to strengthen you with his power through his spirit in your inner being. Listen to me carefully. The only way you're gonna succeed in life is not by how strong you are on the outside, but it's the intestinal fortitude that is really empowered by the Spirit of God and who you are on the inside. That's where you quit. You don't quit on the outside, you quit on the inside. You don't give up on the outside, you give up on the inside. Matter of fact, before anybody ever quits on the outside, they've already quit on the inside. And he says, you and I have to learn that the only way we can overcome the flesh and its activities on the outside is to be strengthened in our inner being. It's the only way you can conquer temptation and sin. It's the only way you can conquer trouble and trials. It's the only way you can conquer disease and suffering. It's the only way you can conquer selfishness and worldliness. It's the only way you can overcome problems and circumstances. You can only overcome the flesh with all its weaknesses when you are strengthened by the Spirit of God, by his power in your inner being. But watch this. It not only keeps you safe, being strengthened in your inner being will help you to claim the potential that God has laid out for you. In other words, you can't become all that God wants you to be until you are strengthened in your inner being. Because here's what Paul understands, and Jesus taught us, that it isn't physical strength, it's spiritual fortitude that you need from God. Your spirit must be strong and powerful on the inside to be everything God wants you to be and to do everything God wants you to do. You've got to be strengthened by the Holy Spirit in your inner being. Listen, all of us probably know at least one person who started off strong in this Christian life, and they were like a sparkler. They burned bright, they burned hot, and they only burned for a second. And you look for them now, and they're nowhere to be found. Because watch this. The Christian life is more than the clothes you wear and the jargon you speak and where you go on Sunday. It's who you have to be on the inside Monday through Saturday. Look at Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. Colossians 1, verses 10 and 11. Let's read it together. So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy. Being strengthened by his power. And somebody in here can testify when you get to the end of your power, how important it is to have access to his power. When you get to life's point where you're ready to throw in the towel, what a blessing it is to be able to call on the Lord in those times when you need strength outside of yourself. I want you to think of a skyscraper that stands in an earthquake zone. What keeps it standing is not the height of the building, but the depth of the foundation and the internal framework designed to withstand shaking. Likewise, your inner being is fortified by the Spirit. You can stand tall even when life quakes. So stop praying only for circumstances to change. You need to start praying for God to change you on the inside. We're praying, saying, Lord, move me out of this situation. And the Lord just might have a lesson for you to learn and a lesson to teach somebody else. And so our prayer sometimes needs to shift from, Lord, get me out, to, Lord, strengthen me so I can get through to your glory and to your honor. Here's the third thing. If you're going to be rooted and grounded in God, number three, you must be rooted and grounded in Christ's love for you. You've got to be rooted and grounded in Christ's love for you. Verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. He says you got to be rooted and grounded in his love. Look at that word in verse 17. So that Christ may dwell. Christ may dwell. It's in the present tense. And the word dwell means a permanent dwelling, a permanent residence. This is not temporary. This is not a hotel or motel that you check in and check out of. He says, no, Christ needs to dwell in your hearts. You need to recognize that he is dwelling inside of you. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, Christ enters your heart and you are sealed by the Holy Spirit. Then you must make sure that you are conscious that the Holy Spirit has taken up residence within you, and let the Holy Spirit continue to control and guide your life. Listen, whenever fear shows up and fear becomes what preoccupies you, it's because you are focusing more on the fear of what you're facing than the love of God that is keeping you in the midst of it all. See, here's the truth of the matter. Everybody goes through some times in life when you are going to be afraid. Everybody goes through some times in life when you are going to be fearful. But the challenge that you and I have is with the love of God for us, the unconditional, unmerited love of God that God has for us, how do you focus more on God's love for you instead of fear of what you are going through? See, the more you are aware and conscious of the Spirit of God living with you, within you, the more you will walk and live in Christ. He is inside of you. He lives inside of you. Listen, I can remember going down the street when I was growing up in New York City on the Lower East Side of Manhattan, and there were times of the night that you didn't want to be out because they were scary times. And I can remember hearing all kinds of stories. But you know what? I never was fearful when my father was with me. Because there was comfort in his presence. There was comfort knowing that he was there. And you couldn't tell me my daddy couldn't beat everybody up. And then my daddy was a police officer too, and he had a gun. I was like, oh man, I'm safe, right? Because I'm with my daddy. Listen, you ought to feel safe. You ought to feel a sense of calm when you know God is living inside of you and God is with you. See, here's the problem with too many churches. We use an Old Testament typology and try to apply it into a New Testament context. So we say things like, Lord, you are welcome into this place, and Lord, come on in, and we want your Shekinah glory. And it sounds spiritual, but it's theologically incorrect. The Lord lives inside of you right now. You don't have to call on him. You don't have to wait for him to show up. He lives inside of you. Matter of fact, the only thing you got to do is recognize his presence, regardless of what you're going through. That's why grandmama could shout in the kitchen with no music, no choir, no preaching, no Bible. She could just start shouting because when she thought about the Lord living inside of her and what God had done in her life. I wish I had a witness in here somewhere. Look at John 14, 20. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Galatians 2:20, let's read it together. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Colossians 1:27. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So he says, you got to be rooted and grounded in love. That love is the familiar word agape, that unconditional love, that unmerited love that God gives to us, that Jesus died and gave to us, that God expects us to give back to him. He says, you got to be rooted and grounded in that love. The same love that God has for us, the same love that you are to give back to God, the same love that you are to give to each other. He says that needs to be the love that you are rooted and grounded in. And then look at verse 18. May have strength to comprehend with all the saints. That word comprehend simply means to have a full understanding of. God's love is so great, it cannot be measured. Therefore, here's what Paul says. You've got to pray and seek God to increase your understanding of the breadth, the length, the depth, and height of God's love for you. The more you understand God's love for you, the more you will surrender your life to Christ and serve him. As a matter of fact, the more you realize God's love for you, the more peace you will have in whatever you go through. Because you will know that God loves you. And Paul uses two images that we are familiar with to describe the relationship with God's love we're to have. He says you should be rooted and you should be grounded. Rooted speaks to being planted or fixed firmly like a tree or plant to take root. Look at Colossians 2:7. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught and you will overflow with thankfulness. Listen, we are so busy trying to be more that seen than recognizing our strength comes from when we are rooted in what is not seen. See, when we are rooted in God, when we are rooted in him, folk may not see how deep the roots grow in him, but they'll see it because it'll be manifested in the fruit we produce. But then watch this. He not only says you need to be rooted, he says you need to be grounded. To lay a foundation, a foundation that is firm like a building foundation. Look at Colossians 1 verse 23. But you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you receive when you heard the good news. The good news has been preached all over the world, and I, Paul, have been appointed as God's servant to proclaim it. You must believe this truth and stand firmly in it. In other words, he says both of these things should give us a stability in our life and living to not only know intellectually, but to know experientially about the love of God. That should be the foundation of our life and our living. God's love for us and our love for him. That's why he says in verse 19 that you ought to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. I think some of us have gotten to a place where we have questioned whether or not God could love us. And I'm not talking about your BC days. I'm not talking about before Christ. I'm talking about after Jesus. You probably thought some things. Maybe you've done some things. And you might have questioned whether or not God can still love you. And Paul says, your understanding of God's love for you is so limited. If you knew how much God loved you, it would change everything about what you think, about what you do, about what you say. Think about this for a minute. Have you had somebody that really loved you? That you knew, I mean, they loved you. And watch this. Their love for you made you do some things that you would not have done unless you knew their love for you. And their love for you kept you from doing some things because you didn't want to break their heart because you knew how much they loved you. Listen, God says just like the love that a mother has for a child and how that love will keep you from doing wrong and how that love will keep you doing right. He says, think about the love of your mother multiplied exponentially. He said, no calculator is able to calculate how far, how deep, and how wide God's love is for you. He says, you got to pray for God to help you learn more and more of his love for you, and you should make that request every day. Let's go down to Romans chapter 8. You can read the other passages on your own. Romans chapter 8, verse 35 through 39. Let's read it together. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. A tree's stability is not found in its branches that everyone can see. It's found in its root system. A building's stability is not found in how high that building goes. It's found in how deep the foundation goes. And what people see in your life depends on what you are rooted in and what you are grounded in. I want you to be intentional about meditating and realizing Christ's love for you. Let his love shape your identity, not your achievements or your failures. When your roots go deep in Christ's love for you, you won't be shaken by rejection or fear. You will walk in his love for you. Let me get to this last point and let you go. Number four, if you're going to be rooted and grounded in God, you must be rooted and grounded in being filled with God's filledness. You must be rooted and grounded. Leave it up on the screen for a minute for those who are writing. You must be rooted and grounded in being filled with God's fullness. Filled with God's fullness. The B part of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, the Amplified New Testament says it a different way, that you may be filled through all your being with all the fullness of God, that is, may have the richest measure of divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. See, when Jesus promised to send the Holy Spirit, in John chapter 14, he promised that the Holy Spirit would come and aid us. Look at John 14, verses 16 through 17. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be, there it is, in you. Paul prays for you to have Christ dwell within and control your heart so that the presence of God will fill and flood you. What does that mean for the Spirit of God to fill you and for the presence of God to flood you? It literally means that God rules, reigns, and has his perfect way in your life. When you are filled with the fullness of God, he's really talking about being under God's control. Look at Ephesians 5:18. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, the ESV translation says, but be filled with the Spirit. And Paul draws a contrast between somebody who is drunk with wine and somebody who is filled with Spirit to give you an imagery that you won't miss, that when somebody is drunk, they are controlled by the wine. And watch this. Being controlled by strong drink, you see who they are based on what is controlling them. Now, I know none of y'all have ever been drunk, but you probably remember seeing somebody on television or a movie that had, you know, was inebriated, right? And whenever they are under the control of wine and strong drink, it affects how they walk, how they talk, how they act. Paul says, I don't want you to be drunk with wine in excess, but be filled by the Spirit. Because when the Spirit of God is controlling you, it affects how you walk, how you talk, how you act. Come on, somebody help me in here. Let me see if I can give somebody just a little shouting point. You ever remember a time when you know it had to be the Holy Spirit controlling you? Because if it wasn't for the Holy Ghost, something would have kicked off, right? Like, you know it was God. You know it was the Spirit inside of you that caused you to hold your peace. Man, I just had a situation, and man, I can't tell you how many things went through my mind about what I would say, what I would do to this person, how I would respond to this person based on the wrong they had done. But the Spirit of God, hold your peace. God said, let me fight your battles. I'm helping myself if I'm not helping anybody else today. He says, you are to pray for God to constantly fill you. And when we say fill you, you are to pray for God to constantly control you. Colossians 1:9, and so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Y'all, often you hear people say, pray for me. And my question is, what are you praying? Paul says, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Paul didn't pray for them to get stuff. He wasn't praying for them to get cash, cars, commodities, clothes, and creature comforts. He was praying that they would be filled by the power of the Holy Spirit, that they would live under the control of the Holy Spirit. Because here's what Paul understood. God did not want them to be the best version of themselves they could be. God wanted them to be the best version of Jesus they could be. So that every time somebody came across one of his believers, they felt like they had an encounter with Jesus. Let me close by telling you, stop living a life of emptiness. Instead, pursue intimacy with God until his fullness spills over into every area of your life. Don't compartmentalize God's fullness in your life and say, God, you can have my spirit man, but God, don't mess with my relationships. God, you can have my spirit man, but don't mess with my job. God, you can have my inner being, but don't mess with my marriage. No, he wants you to stand firm, and he wants you to let his fullness overcome every relationship, every decision, everything that you do in life should be impacted when you are filled with his fullness. Remember that tree in the introduction? It stood firm, not because the storm was weak, but because its roots were deep. And when your roots go deep into Christ's love and your life is filled with his fullness, your life becomes a living testimony that God is real, God is strong, and God is worthy of the glory. So today I want to encourage you to be rooted, not restless. Be grounded, not drifting. Be growing, not dying. Be filled, not empty. Be strong, not shaken. Be anchored in his power. Be rooted in his love. Be strengthened by his spirit. Be filled with his fullness. Grow in his grace, mercy, love, and goodness. Because when you're rooted in God's love, when the winds blow, you'll stand strong. When the storms rage, you'll still rise. When the rains fall, you'll still flourish. When fires burn, you'll still endure. When floods come, you'll still remain. When the ground shakes, you'll still stand firm. When the night falls, you'll still see the light. When the enemy attacks, you'll still overcome. When trials test you, you'll still triumph. When darkness surrounds you, you'll still shine. When fear whispers in your ear, you'll still walk by faith. When hope seems distant, you'll still hold on. When strength feels gone, you'll still press on. When the battle rages, you'll still be victorious. Despite the winds, you'll stand by his strength. Despite the storms, you'll still rise by his spirit. Despite the rains, you will still prosper in his presence. Despite the fires, you'll still flourish in his favor. Despite the floods, you'll still stand on a firm foundation. Stand strong in his grace. Walk in the light of his love. Advance under his anointing. Triumph through his truth. And when darkness is surrounding you, still shine the light of glory. Still follow his voice by faith. Hold fast to his promise. Lean on his everlasting arms and be more than a conqueror. That's why the old songwriter said, be not dismayed, whatever betide you, because God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love I will abide. God will take care of you. And make sure your soul is rooted and grounded in him. Make sure your soul is anchored in the Lord. That's what Hebrews 6 says. We have this as a sure, look at verse 19, and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf. having become a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. He says, make sure you're rooted and grounded in him. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we bless you for this day. We pray now that all that has been said has been pleasing in your sight. Let the words of my mouth that have gone forth, I pray that it will encourage somebody to know that all they need is in his love for us and his love for them. Let them stand firm in that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.